You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
That it is. It is Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen filling in for Bart and Hahn today on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and of course on your smart speaker. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. News just a moment ago, yet another free agent signing. The Seahawks lose cornerback Shaquille Griffin, gets 3 years, $44.5 million, 29 guaranteed from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were the team with the most salary cap room to work with going into free agency. So Shaquille Griffin is off the board, headed to Jacksonville, and another big signing for the Jaguars. They have been very involved, as you would expect, with free agency plus the number one overall pick. Chris and Bob, and we are brought to you, as always, by our friends at My Computer Career. My Computer Career, training for a better life. So, Bob, when you hear this, that you see a potential in free agency of another move like this, and you look at the other teams that have made their moves so far, as much as you seem to abhor free agency overall in the NFL, Bob. And given you have your scars, I look at this and I wonder who you feel like has made the most improvement in the last day and a half. Is it the Patriots or is it somebody else?
That's a great question, only because I think that on paper, free agency can be such like a lie. I just don't believe you go out and buy a team. So I would say probably the Chiefs, just by getting the one best offensive lineman to plug into a hole in front of the best quarterback in the NFL, who they drafted, adding him to an offense, the majority of which they have drafted. I would say the Chiefs, because they utilized free agency the way you utilized it. You find a hole, you spend money on a really, really good team to plug that hole.
And I totally agree. And that's the thing, is that when you are that great team and you use it to supplement that hole that you needed to, and you get the best available player, to me, that makes all the difference in the world. And we were talking about this in reference to the Jets earlier, the balance of adding to their team while still knowing what the draft picks are in front of them and how much they have to work with, and may even have more if they end up trading Sam Darnold here leading up to the draft. Now, the one thing I would ask, though, about this, Bob, is that when you have a situation like this, and we start to hear rumors yesterday about C.J. Mosley potentially getting traded, that the Jets have been taking calls on him, a guy who has basically played the equivalent of one game, and not basically, one game in 2 years, two games overall, but a half of one of them. I do wonder, when you had the thought process that he was the very best at his position when you signed him, and that's all you've gotten out of him after he opted out of last year, do you really want to just give him away at this point? Because it doesn't feel like the Jets are going to get anything significant in exchange for C.J. Mosley. I would at least want to let him play it out a little bit in a year where maybe my salary cap number doesn't matter as much about improving it immediately.
Yeah, see, what happens with C.J. Mosley has little to nothing to do with the long-term success of the Jets. To me, like, this regime didn't think he was the best free agent out there on the market. This regime didn't make the decision to go out and pay him hand over fist. He hasn't played in 2 years. So do I want to see C.J. Mosley back on the field? Would I be curious to see what he looks like? Sure I would. But the Jets' future success is all about the second pick in this draft, what they do with the quarterback, and whether or not they can trade for Deshaun Watson. That is the determinant. That's how they pilot their future forward. And those are the questions they have to answer. C.J. Mosley is an ancillary topic for this year. He will probably not be on the team a year from now whether they trade him this year or let him play this year. I don't think a year to 2 years from now he's going to be on the team no matter what. So to me, that's a sidebar topic. The future of the Jets is, what do they do at quarterback? Do they keep Sam Darnold? Do they draft Zach Wilson? Do they get Deshaun Watson? How that sorts itself out between now and the draft. And all of those options right now, from what I understand, are on the table for them.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your take on NFL free agency, everything that has happened, especially with the New England Patriots, who have been the most active team. We return to the phones right now on Bart and Han. It is Shane who is up next, checking in with us from Middletown. Shane, what's going on?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in with the other callers and agree that, you know, I don't know if Bob is a beer drinker, but if he is, it's definitely always the green variety. I'm not just saying that because of St. Patrick's Day. I think he's a little biased here. If anybody deserves credit for navigating free agency as well as the draft, it's Bill Belichick. He's shown you a number of ways that he can win both offensively and defensively. He's got a lot of pieces there on defense, top 10 defense, bringing back three players who didn't even play because of sitting out for COVID. And now we're adding even more depth with Judon and the Green Goblin there. In an area where we're already deep in. Our secondary is very deep. And in terms of offense, you know, let's not forget about what we had with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. So having a two tight end set, also Damien Harris showing lots of glimpses of excellent running, now Cam has something to work with as well.
Yep, Shane, I would say that if you're accusing me of looking at this through green-colored glasses and having Patriot scar tissue, yes, guilty as charged. There's no question. I am approaching this opinion-wise from being a Patriot hater. I will hang myself on that hook all day long. You're 100% right. Guilty as charged. What I would say, though, is at the end of all of the moves they've made and the way you described how they're putting their team together, the last name out of your mouth was Cam. And that's the biggest change. But you're right. They have used free agency well in years past when they've supplemented a good roster, when they've plugged holes where they've needed to. But at the end of all of that, the dominoes fell and the last domino standing was Tom Brady. And he was always there. And now he's not. And now it's Cam Newton. And to me, that's the biggest difference between what they've always been and what they were last year. We saw what this team finally looked like with the same quarterback problems that so many other teams have had to deal with when a legend walks out the door. Legend walked out the door and they lost. And that legend's not walking back in that door.
You know, speaking of that legend, you know, how about the job that the Bucs have done here in bringing back the pieces that they needed to bring back? Gronk is back. Brady obviously restructured his contract so that they could make a lot of these moves to bring back Shaquille Barrett, who I think if he was on the free agent market, he would have absolutely blown the doors off in terms of money and everything that he did. You know, the Bucks have done an amazing job here in free agency of keeping so many of their most important pieces to a championship team.
It's what Tom Brady's always done, though, right? He's brought that same culture with him. I guess it helps to have a wife that makes three times the amount of money that you do, and you're a guy that's making $25, $30 million as a quarterback. It's a nice marriage to be in financially. I guess he can take a little bit of a pay cut where other guys can't, but that's what he did in New England. He never got paid max money. Now he's in Tampa Bay. He's not getting paid max money. He has developed the culture as well of, if the quarterback isn't being paid max money, if the guy who's arguably the best to ever play the position isn't making max money, maybe it's okay for some other guys to take a penny or two less to make room so that everyone, as Bart would say, which can share the sugar. And, you know, they're benefiting, I think, from that culture that Tom Brady brings with him.
Robert is up next. He is in Virginia with us on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Robert, what's up, buddy?
Well, you know, there's only one person that has more rings than Brady, and that's Bill Belichick, because he got two with the Giants and six with New England. And I think he's looking to separate himself and get another one this year. And it would not surprise me at all if they both got to the Super Bowl this year, what a story that would be. But I think Belichick's making some big moves. And don't count out Cam Newton, because before he got the coronavirus, he was playing darn well. And they're going to change their offense a little bit. And with the two tight end signings, it's huge. I mean, they're easy to complete passes to. I look for New England to make a big move this year. And it would not surprise me if both them and Tampa got to the Super Bowl.
Boy, I think that's being exceptionally optimistic in regards to the Patriots. I won't sit here and tell you that the Patriots are going to win a division, let alone get to the Super Bowl. And I don't think they're good enough without winning the division to be even able to discuss those two words. The Bills are still in prime position. In fact, there was the thought, and Adam Schefter put this out just a little while ago, that Gronk had actually considered signing with the Bills. There was an offer for him on the table, and that's his hometown team, that he actually would have gone and joined them in a chance to try to win this offseason. Can you imagine that? If Gronk went to Buffalo and was with Josh Allen and jumping through tables after every game, I don't think there would have been any question about that. With Gronk, that would have been as entertaining as heck. But right now, I'm sorry, the Dolphins and the Bills are much better than the Patriots, even with the moves they have made.
I don't get all the optimism. I'm with you. I don't get it. I'll give you one good example, one cautionary tale as well with the Jets. The Jets got Le'Veon Bell the year after Le'Veon Bell took a year off. And how did he look? They gave him the ball like 700 times over two seasons. He never made a play. And then he went to an offense in Kansas City that should have been the dream of a running back. You're going to be isolated on linebackers all day long because they have to deploy all their other people and all those other weapons. He still couldn't make a play, and at the end of the season couldn't get on the field. And he will never be the same again. So I think there's this other thing going on with the Patriots where everybody thinks these eight dudes that sat out because of COVID are all going to come back on defense and are all just going to turn back into the same players that they were 2 years ago. There's not a big control for that experiment of guys taking a year off and then what they look like when they come back. But not many of them just automatically jump right back up and return to what they were before. I think the Patriots are far less talented than people are saying. I think Bill Belichick realizes it. I think that's why he's going out there and spending a mint to try and plug all these holes and buy a team with free agency. And I'm with you, Chris. I don't see this team being much better than 9-7 this year. That would be the number that I would put on them. And 9-7 in the right year might make the playoffs. They're going to win a Super Bowl.
No. No, absolutely not. This portion of Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Wendy's. Absolutely. Proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Award. Back to the phones. Rich in Manhattan is up next on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Rich, what's up, buddy?
Chris, Bob, this call is for you, Bob. You are, and I've been listening to Jet games since 1962. I remember 1964, Merle Harmon doing the games from Shea Stadium when we couldn't watch the game. That's how important it was to listen. And you are the best announcer I've ever heard as far as home team goes. You are the best. I mean, I won't put you there with Ray Scott and Summerall and, a couple other guys. There were a couple guys, Bob Albert, Marty Glickman. But you are the best right now in football. Tony Romo's getting $16 million, you should be getting at least $30 million. You challenge the listeners everything you make us think. Why would you punt on third down here when if you give the ball up now, you can get it? We go along thinking with you. That's what I love, because at the end of the day, that's all I want to do is keep my brain going. Tony Romo, he calls the next play for us. Big deal. That doesn't involve anything. That's like a teacher giving you the answer to the quiz for it. That's not challenging your brain. You challenge everything. Yep. And I don't. Yep. You know, more
the only thing, the only shame of this is that I think most of our audience is listening on radio right now. If only they had the camera turned on. For anybody that's watching on ESPN Plus right now, you're welcome for what you were able to witness, because I was just bathing in the love of Richard.
And as you should luxuriate in it. And what I would say is that I know that you actually have an Uncle Rich, but I did not realize that it was Richard in Manhattan. So that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Great to know moving forward. And Richard, very, very kind words for Bob there. I'm not sure they were entirely appropriate. Simon in Utah is up next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, Simon?
Hey, so if you see my area code, you probably know why I'm answering this question. Why I'm asking this question. Jordan Love got drafted last year by the Green Bay Packers, obviously. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a move to replace Aaron Rodgers in the future. With this quarterback market, you know, all the new quarterbacks coming in with Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, obviously. Do you feel like the market is too oversaturated for him to maybe make a move this free agency or to maybe land with another team? Do you think he's just going to stay a backup this year and kind of sit?
Well, he's not a free agent, first of all, and thanks for the call. They obviously are not moving on from him yet. They took him in the first round last year, and the Packers have indicated that they're not obviously ready to let Aaron Rodgers go. I am surprised, considering how this season played out, that Rodgers did not enter that fray, Bob, of these quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, who were very unhappy with their situation and starting to take it more the direction of the NBA player, as we've seen among NFL players these days. Really try to position yourself to be in charge of where you're going and where you're willing to play, where that has never been the case before, considering how disrespected Rodgers seemingly felt last year by the Packers and everything that transpired, especially around the Jordan Love move to draft him in the first round.
Although maybe we're finding out that Aaron Rodgers feeling disrespected is okay.
Yeah.
Like he performed pretty well. Feeling as disrespected
as
he felt.
Yeah. I thought he would have considered a little bit more trying to push forward and moving on from Green Bay, or simply his message getting across that I need some more help here offensively.
They seem pretty good offensively this past year. Mm-hmm. I guess what I would say from Jordan Love's standpoint, maybe Jordan Love, I have no idea what he's going to turn out to be, but maybe he turns out to be the way we used to treat quarterbacks, which is he actually is a backup for 2 or 3 years and learns from the incumbent guy. And then when he steps on the field, he's much more prepared to do the job than he would have been if he's thrown to the wolves as a rookie. I mean, everybody looks
not
at
unlike
Jordan Love
Aaron Rodgers
now as kind of in this dead-end job. Yeah, or Patrick Mahomes. We forget that about Mahomes. Mahomes is the one quarterback of all of these recent quarterbacks drafted in the middle to top half of the first round or at the top of the first round. He actually sat for a year behind Alex Smith and watched NFL football. How much more prepared did he look when he stepped on the field for having had maybe that tutorial?
I think it's a great discussion when it comes to the quarterback right now in the league because of how the pay structure is and the pressure to find out the answers about the quarterback on the field sooner rather than later. Before, when you were handing them all the money up front, you had no choice but to give them 3 and 4 years to really find out if he was going to be the guy. It was, frankly, buying you the ability to be a lot more patient or the need to be a lot more patient. Now there is not that
play.
Need. Yeah. Now they have to play.
Anybody drafted at the top of the first round, they all play.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily
think. No matter
what
the team says.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. Mel is in Jersey up next on with Bart and Han. Bob and Chris in for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mel, what's up, bud?
What's up, man? As a Nets fan, man, I don't feel like there's anything to worry about because, like the announcer who was doing the game last night, those guys like to play with joy. You know, the first 3 quarters, they're running the Knicks out the building, got an 18-point lead. Around 6 minutes left, I feel like they take their foot off the gas, man. Not to take nothing away from the Knicks, because the Knicks definitely did everything that they were supposed to. Every opportunity the Knicks gave them, they took, you know. But in order, the way I see it, they was getting dunks everywhere, everybody getting these nice two-pointers and everything. But after a while, they just was throwing up threes, you know, running plays for different players to get buckets and scores and whatnot. So with that being – oh, yeah. And then they finally come through with the clutch defense. And I could think of at least 3 or 4 games where, you know, the defense came through and win the game for us. So with all that being said –
Hang on a second. Listen, Mel, I get what you're saying, and thanks for the call. But let's not – as much as it's improved incrementally in a couple of spots – Let's not talk about the defense winning games for the Nets so far. Last night, they let the Knicks completely back into the game, an inferior team, talent-wise, and they just made one play toward the end that kept them from potentially having to go to overtime in that game.
Coaches chart everything. They chart offensive opportunities, defensive opportunities, deflections, floor burn plays, hustle plays. Go back, watch the fourth quarter of that game, and with the Nets up 15, 12, 11, 9, 7, as the lead starts to whittle down and whittle down, count up the number of wide open shots the Knicks had that they missed. Just because Kyrie Irving got a hand on a ball in the last play of the game doesn't mean the Nets play defense the fourth quarter. Now, I agree with Mel. If you're a Net fan and all you do every single night is watch them win, why do you think they're in danger of losing to an inferior team? You just have this blind belief that at some point Kyrie or Harden's just going to go make a play, score a basket, and you're going to win. But when the competition gets more intense in the postseason, gets better and better, you better not be giving up all these open shots.
All guests on Barton Hahn appear via the Goodyear hotline, and that was you, bringing us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Up next is a major market team on the doorstep of going all in on Russell Wilson. Audio files when we return. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN Plus. First up, though, I want to tell you all about our friends at DraftKings. Well, listen, the tournament is finally here, and DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy. They're celebrating with $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. And when you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survivor pool, you could get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. Get in on all of this week's action. Download the DraftKings app, enter code BART during sign up to enter the free $1 million survivor pool. How do you miss out on this? That's code BART to enter the DraftKings free $1 million survivor pool. Eligibility and restrictions apply. Terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. ESPN Radio, as always, brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Now, Bob, you know this about me. If there was a bracket of my favorite sports traditions, filling out a bracket would be the champion of that bracket, and I love taking on my friends in the ESPN Tournament Challenge and beating every single one of them. I've already signed up to do it. You can do that now. Sign up now for the ESPN Tournament Challenge at ESPN.com/bracket. And this year, you can boost your bracket with ESPN Plus. Use Bracket Predictor to analyze each matchup. Get recommended picks one game at a time and import your picks directly into ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. On my bracket predictor, it actually burst into laughter when I submitted it this week. It is not a good situation with me in the bracket year in and year out. But Bob, before we get to any more of that chicanery, let us turn to audio files. Yes, yes, friends, it is time for that. Bart and Han may be out, but we're still doing audio files here on Bart and Han. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for the boys today. First up, it looks like, according to ESPN insider Jeremy Fowler, a major market team is ready to go all in on Russell Wilson. Here's Jeremy.
The expectation league-wide is that Chicago is going to try to take a big swing here to get Russell. Now, Seattle has given no clear indication that they're going to trade him. Russell Wilson himself still does not expect to be traded, but Chicago's going to at least try to make that change and put together a package. That's what most people around the league do expect.
Listen, I want to know what that package looks like, because it's not like the Bears have got extra picks to be throwing around. They haven't used a first-round pick the last couple of years because of the Khalil Mack trade. They're going to have to get somebody else involved here to even have a sniff at being able to make that kind of a deal, Bob.
To trade for a player that the team says they don't want to move and that the player says he doesn't want to leave. Like, the world is upside down. Where is the difference between, mentally at least, organizationally, between where the Texans are and where the Seahawks are? Why would the Seahawks be looking to move on from one of the top 5 to 7 quarterbacks in the NFL who's saying publicly he doesn't want to leave, while the Texans are yelling from the rooftops there's no chance they're trading a guy that is desperate to leave? I don't get it.
My only problem here is, if you don't want to leave and you say you don't want to leave, don't throw out the caveat publicly, as his agent did, of, but if we do, here are the four teams I would go to, the Bears being
one
of them.
You're right. I mean, it's almost like Joe Douglas saying, we're not looking to trade Sam Darnold, but the phone lines are open.
Up next, we were talking about the Bucs earlier and how they have been able to bring back so many pieces of this championship team. Here's Dan Orlovsky on Tampa Bay.
I think Tom Brady's going to be the first quarterback ever to have a chance to go 16-0, like a real chance to go 16-0 again. Their schedule is butter soft. I mean, they play the NFC East, they play the AFC East. I think their two toughest games will be the Rams and the Buffalo Bills. They're going to be favored in just about every game. I think they'll be favored in every single game. And one of those games, obviously, is going to be home against Buffalo. They got to go on the road to the Rams. We don't know what's going to happen in Atlanta, new head coach. The Bears don't have a quarterback right now. The Saints don't have a quarterback right now. I mentioned the NFC East. The Dolphins will be improved. But look at that schedule. Look how soft that is. This team's going to run it back, essentially. They probably are going to re-sign Shaq Barrett because of Brady giving them financial freedom. I think Tom Brady's going to be the second quarterback ever to go 16-0.
He's already the
first
only
quarterback ever to do it twice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know.
Just kill me now. Stop. Make it stop. Make it stop. It's been 20 years. Make it stop.
Do you wake up screaming in the middle of the night, thinking about this kind of thing?
Oh, my God.
Do you?
It's just...
Does it happen? No?
He won't go away.
Here's the thing.
And all of the people with him won't go away. Like, Gronk won't go away. I'm sure Edelman's going to end up there. Like, no, they won't go away. Can't they just go away?
No, Bob, they can't. They can't go away. They're going to be driving boats next year again in Tampa, and there's going to be another, you know, they're going to start throwing the trophy around boat to boat. It won't just be one toss. Listen.
I hope it hits Gronk on the side of the head, gives him a concussion, and ends up at the bottom of the channel.
That's terrible. That's awful. Listen.
Here's the thing, Bob. I'm ashamed of myself for even letting my brain go there, but I can't help it. It's been 20 years.
Here's the thing. Dan's not wrong. I mean, think about the division. Sean Payton earlier today told NOLA.com, also told the Dan Patrick Show, that he feels like their quarterback situation is set. I think you need to look up what the word set means, because the last time I saw Jameis Winston playing quarterback full time, he could have used the Vinny Testaverde "I'm colorblind" excuse from the Bucs back in the day, in throwing it to the other team so much as he did. And then I don't necessarily believe for a second that Taysom Hill is going to be the answer at quarterback. I think he is that multi-role guy at best who can throw a few passes here and there.
I agree. I'm with you.
I want to talk about this as much as possible because I want to see you in more pain.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, because you're looking for any reason to think one of the other teams in that division would have a chance to scare Tampa. And it looks like the Patriots when the Bills and Jets and Dolphins were what the Bills and Jets and Dolphins were 3, 4, 5 years ago. Right? Like, the Tom Brady's going to roll out of bed and go 6-0 in his division. So now what do you need to do to get a home playoff game? You're going to win your division. So you're automatically got a home playoff game. You're probably going to be the one seed, at worst the two seed. There's more damage done now being the two seed because you still have to play an extra playoff game. You don't get the bye the way the one seed does. So maybe there's a little bit of a disadvantage in terms of the current playoff format, but I would pick them to be the one seed. So, you know, you go 6-0 in your division, you got 10 games left. I mean, you know, go 500 in those 10 games, you're going to get a home playoff game.
See, Bob, what you do is you take the knife, you stick it in, and then you twist it like that. And that's the way you really make it work. How about a little NBA? Steph Curry, his Warriors are 20-20 after the loss last night to the Lakers. Yesterday, ESPN's Rachel Nichols on what the future may hold for Steph and the Warriors.
But both the Splash Brothers know that just being back on the court together again, likely not enough in a league where cities like Los Angeles and Brooklyn have loaded up on superstars. So how does Golden State make sure it has the right players around Steph and Klay? Do the Warriors continue to integrate guys like Wiggins and Kelly Oubre, continue to develop James Wiseman, and also use their upcoming draft picks to set themselves up for the future? The team will not only have its own pick this year, so long as it lands in the top 20, but Minnesota's pick as well, as long as that Wolves pick doesn't fall inside a top three protection. Or should the Warriors use a chunk of those assets to make a trade that would give the team a legit additional star who is more on the Steph, Klay, Draymond timeline? Warriors Twitter has made it very clear their opinion on that one. Half the discussions I see between fans are about not wasting the rest of Steph's prime. There's also some increasing nail-biting over Steph's contract, which currently only runs to the end of next season. Now, Curry actually could have signed an extension this past offseason, but he opted not to, in part just because he can sign a longer, richer deal if he waits until this coming offseason. So him waiting makes sense. But it hasn't stopped even GM Bob Myers from occasionally having what he called, quote, paranoid fears that Steph won't stay. Perhaps that's why Myers has also said he plans to be, quote, aggressive as the trade deadline approaches. But as with all general managers at this time of year, it's impossible to know exactly what's real and what is a smokescreen. So here is what we do know for sure. Steph Curry is now officially 33 years old. And hot pink shoes aside, the Warriors have some decisions to make.
That's Rachel yesterday from The Jump. And look, I get it. If you're Steph and you're looking at how this is playing out, not just because you can get a richer contract this year, but wanting to leave yourself some options for the future with the Warriors, not the worst idea when you reach the age of 33.
Look, far be it from me to ever say that Twitter's right. Warriors Twitter is right. He's 33 years old. You do not now think you're going to, like, develop James Wiseman, and 3 years from now, you're going to be ready to beat the Warriors again. You do whatever you possibly can to get the third wheel to come in with those top two guys and run it back the way they did with Durant. And you follow the Nets model, and you throw everything you have against the wall to give Steph another chance before he's a 36, 37, 38-year-old guy hanging on to the end of his career.
ESPN Radio, brought to you by Progressive Insurance, making it easy for you to bundle your home and car insurance. And, of course, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Dame and the Blazers hosting Zion and the Pelicans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Han. Up next, NBA or NFL free agency continues. The latest on the biggest signings and why the Patriots' moves don't mean a darn thing. We'll discuss in a moment on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Ah, Bob Wischusen, Chris Carlin, in for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and of course on ESPN Plus and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. You know, Bob, the Patriots just continue to do it. They continue to do it. They are now actively talking to Leonard Fournette and Chris Carson to potentially joined them in their backfield, and you know, that's a bit of a problem as the AFC East continues to watch as they sail on by right now.
This is the most un-Bill Belichick thing in the history of Bill Belichick things. He's just making it rain. And look, you can have a blind faith that Bill Belichick knows what he's doing in a way nobody else does, and history would tell you you're right. For 20 years, all the guy's done is win. Except last year, when he had a less than talented team, all of a sudden you saw even he can't take an untalented team and overcome that. And so now he's trying to buy his way out of it. Oh, I think I am still live. I think Chris Carlin is being relocated at the South Street Seaport as we speak. But look, the way I look at this from a historical perspective in the NFL, and this is where you have to give Belichick the benefit of the doubt that he's just smarter and better and has a way of beating this system that no other person has figured out. But if you, and Adam Schefter put it on Twitter earlier today, look at the top five teams in history in terms of free agent spending and what their relative level of success then was after that. They all lost. So at least not lost in terms of being below 500, but either didn't make the playoffs or lost in the wild card round once they went out and just pulled the slot machine arm and spent all the money that they had at their disposal on the free agent market. Let's maybe squeeze another call. I think we got Spike in Jersey. Is Spike still available? And we can pop him up and let Spike have his say before we're done here on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. Good, Spike.
Hey, Bob. How good to talk to you. I hope the technical issue is resolved. Wanted to tell you and Colin, two guys that excel at play-by-play and football and basketball, and very excitable guys, so they're always a great watch. Here's the thing with Belichick. Here's the thing with Belichick. If you can go 9-7, you can go 10-6 with the oblong ball. So I wouldn't sell him short. But I want to ask you one NCAA historical question, if I may. How come
Real
Glenn
quick.
Rice never gets the just due for that Michigan win in overtime against that Andrew Gaze team in 90?
Wow.
Remember that?
Wow. Yeah, Spike, thanks for the call. I appreciate you taking us in like more than a possible 180 over what we were talking about to close out the show. I think Glenn Rice got a lot of credit for a championship in 1989. Where that came from, Pluto, I have no idea. But I'm going to be back tomorrow. I guarantee I will not be talking about Ramil Robinson and Glenn Rice and the 1989 Michigan Wolverines, but we'll be talking a lot more about NFL free agency on Bart and Han. So long for me and so long for Chris Carlin. Thanks for joining us today on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.